This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode number 10.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Well, on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about something that lots of people find really difficult when it comes to PR. In fact, some people find it so difficult that it puts them off starting PR in the first place, and that is pitching. And by that, I just mean emailing journalists or calling them up with an idea to see if they're interested, and then waiting with bated breath to see whether they are. So what I really want to do in today's episode is share with you some tips and tricks that you can use to put together a really great pitch for a journalist, and some things that will just help make it easier for you, to help make it less stressful and take the worry out of pitching. But before I do that, I just want to remind you about the last episode, episode 9. I had a really great interview with Natalie Sisson, the suitcase entrepreneur, as she calls herself. In her own words, she travels around the world having crazy cool adventures while running a business from her laptop. And she is a brilliant brander. She's basically created this amazing brand around her business. She's got all these memorable words and phrases. When you think of freedom, you think of Natalie. She has her tribe that she calls Freedom Fighters. And she's just a really great example of how to build a tribe and how to build a brand that is so powerful and so interesting and quirky that journalists will just want to write about you. So that's a really great episode, really sort of practical example of how building a great business and a great brand can really help you with your PR. So do go back and have a listen to episode 9 if you haven't done already. So now, on to the main part of the show. So, pitching. I have to say, it's the thing that people probably, apart from press releases actually, it's the thing that people ask me about the most when it comes to PR. And it's also the thing that just strikes fear into some people. It can paralyze some people, the thought of pitching to a journalist, of putting your idea out there and not knowing whether they're going to be interested or not. For some people, it's just too much. So what I really want to do in this episode is just break it down and make it really simple for you and give you some strategies and some tips that you can use to just pitch really great ideas to journalists. Now, I'm not going to cover in this episode, I've done this already in earlier episodes, the kind of ideas that you should be pitching to journalists. So episode 6 is really good for that. Why journalists aren't interested in your business. I give lots of ideas about the kind of things journalists are interested in that episode. And also episode 2, I talk a little bit about what ideas journalists are interested in. So do go back and have a listen to that. But in this episode, I'm going to really concentrate on just how to put together a really great pitch. So this is what I'm going to cover. First off, how you actually pitch to journalists. So do you email? Do you phone? Do you use something like Twitter? I'm going to cover what to include in a pitch to a journalist. So what to actually write in your email or what to say on the phone, and crucially, what to leave out. I'm going to look at how you can increase your chances of getting a journalist to open your email or to listen to you if you phone up. And lastly, I'm going to talk, and I did talk about this in previous episodes, but I'm just going to remind you about what to do if you pitch an idea and you don't hear anything back from a journalist. So a few pointers on that. So first off then, how do you actually pitch to a journalist? How do you run an idea past a journalist? Well, I think it's fair to say that at the moment, in the current climate, most journalists prefer to be pitched by email. That's because they're pretty busy people. Often they will have to then go on and pitch that idea that you've pitched to them to their editor if they find it interesting. So having it written down, having something that they can refer to is really great. That said, if you've got a story that's really timely, it's something that you think needs to go today or first thing tomorrow, it's a story that can't wait because of the news agenda, then I would always say just pick up the phone. Just be prepared that newsrooms are busy places. And if a journalist says they need something by 11 o'clock or they've got to have a story written up by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're probably not messing you around. It can be quite a stressful place. And if you phone up at the wrong time, you may well get somebody being a bit grumpy and a bit short. But please don't let that put you off. If you pitch an idea that a journalist loves, you can bet your bottom dollar they will be on the phone to you or they'll be chasing you up to get information for that story. So I think I've said this in previous episodes, but you are not a pest. You are potentially solving a problem for a journalist when you pitch an idea. So bear that in mind. And if your story is particularly timely, if you think you really do need to let them know about it today, perhaps it's something that picks up on another news story that's been on the agenda for the day, then do pick up the phone. Just be aware that occasionally newsrooms are busy places and maybe you might get the grumpy person now and again, but don't let it get to you. So email generally is sort of accepted way to pitch these days. But just bear in mind this, that most journalists get absolutely hundreds of emails every day from people sending press releases and pitches. So to be honest, and I know this is true when I've been working as an editor, most of them don't get opened. So the challenge for you is writing something that is going to be so compelling that they're just going to be dying to open it because it's so succinct, it's so compelling, it gives them everything that they need. So this is where the real skill comes in. So I'm just going to talk now about what to include in your pitch to a journalist. Well, the one tip that I would give you, if you imagine, and sometimes when I'm doing training courses, I actually will show people my inbox. I have a Guardian email address that I use for my Guardian work, and sometimes I'll show them A, how many emails I've got, and B, what I actually see on my screen. And what people are usually quite surprised to see if I show them the inside of my inbox is how many email subject headers just don't grab you whatsoever. So when people are pitching a story to a journalist, some people will actually send you an email that's just got re:: in the subject header or press release or story or something like that. So they don't give you anything that gives you any incentive to open that email. So what I really suggest people do is they think really hard about how to label up their emails. So this is even before you've thought about the content. You need to write something on it that makes the journalist know that you're pitching a story. So I would just suggest putting story idea or story pitch, colon, and then summarizing in less than 10 words your story. So this is what journalists often refer to as the 10-word top line. And if you can get it in less than 10 words, then all the better. So that's where you summarize your story really succinctly. You don't try and be clever with words. I've talked about this in previous episodes. You don't try and pun or be clever, just really, really simple. If your story is about a dog with two heads, that's what you write in your subject header. Hopefully that's not going to be your story, but it really is, we'd say in the UK, really raunchy, or so just exactly what the story is. So then we get to the body of your email. A big mistake a lot of people make is, so it's fine to say hi. So hi, first name is absolutely fine. I sometimes get people sending me emails which just make me smile a little bit, which say, dear Ms. Murray. And it's a little bit formal, I think, in this day and age. You don't need to say dear Ms. Murray or whatever. Or sometimes people will put my first name and my last name. And immediately, actually, you kind of think, they seem a bit weird. So hi, first name. Hi, Janet. That is absolutely fine. And then what I always advise people to do is just get straight to the point. There's a temptation, particularly if you're pitching to a journalist that you haven't written for before, to give them a couple of paragraphs which explain your life story and the story behind your business. They're busy and they really don't need that. They just need you to get straight to the heart of what your story is. So if your story is about, let me think of an example. So I'll use one of my examples. I did a story for the Guardian's Women in Leadership section recently, which was about miscarriage and how we need to talk more about miscarriage in the workplace. If that's what your story is about, you get in there, bang, straight away. Hi, Harriet. Would you be interested in me writing a story for you about how we need to talk more about miscarriage in the workplace? Get straight to it. Now, if it happens that you know the journalist and you've got an established relationship with them, then fine, you might want to exchange some pleasantries. But one thing that can be really irritating when you're a journalist is you get an email from somebody that you don't know at all. You've never had any exchange with them whatsoever. And they say things like, hi, how are you? How was your weekend? Are you enjoying the sunny weather? I mean, I'm recording this in early November, so not at the moment. Be more like, how are you coping with the change in the weather? Because obviously we like to talk about that sort of thing in the UK. And it really doesn't go down very well. It just seems a little bit insincere to do that kind of thing in a pitch. So unless you know the journalist, get straight to it. Hi, first name, and then say, would you be interested in me writing a story for you? Or would you be interested in a story on X? Bang. 10-word top line or less. Get straight to the heart of the matter. Then I would take a couple of paragraphs just to fill in the background a little bit. And in terms of you, I would probably leave that right to last to say who you are. I sometimes put a little introduction at the beginning because I've been writing for 15 years, and when I'm pitching to people, often they do know who I am, or they wouldn't take them much to kind of find out. But I think I would probably leave, if you're pitching cold, probably leave that till the end of the pitch, unless it's really integral. So let's say, for example, you're a doctor and you're pitching a piece about junior doctor's pay or something like that, or recently qualified doctor's pay, then you might want to put that in your first line. But unless it's really integral to the story, just get straight to the point, explain what it is, couple of paragraphs, just expand it a little bit. And then at the end, I usually say to people, once you've kind of added in a sentence or two about who you are, and crucially, particularly if you're pitching to write the piece yourself, you need to get across really why only you can write this piece. Journalists don't intentionally set out to steal ideas off people, but I have heard of examples of people saying, oh, I pitched an idea, I didn't hear anything back from the publication, but I saw basically my idea in the paper the next day. I don't think that happens intentionally, but sometimes you might see a good idea, you might not know the person and think, I don't really want to take a risk on them. And maybe it doesn't happen consciously, but that idea comes to you later and maybe you don't make the link that somebody pitched it to you before. So I think you need to kind of almost make a case for the fact that you and only you could write that piece, or you or only you could be featured in that piece. One other tip actually that I've just remembered. People try this sometimes with me and they kind of get it wrong, but if you get it right, it can be quite good. I do this when I'm pitching podcasts or I'm pitching guest posts to people. One thing you can do in your first line before you get straight to the top line is, if you genuinely do read that journalist's column or you genuinely are familiar with their work, you could just say something like, I read your article recently on whatever it might be, and just make a brief comment about it. Sometimes I get PR people emailing me who say things like, I love your work, I've been following your work for years and I think you're amazing. And it's a little bit insincere because I'm pretty sure that they haven't been following me and think my work's amazing. But if someone says, I read your piece on whatever it was recently, really enjoyed it, you know, as long as it's not too kind of sycophantic, then I think that's kind of fine. And certainly it's something I do with podcasts and guest posts all the time. I will actually deliberately go out of my way to show that I have listened to the person's show, that I do read their blog. And I will say something that Natalie Sisson, actually, who I interviewed for my last episode, when I pitched her, because I've appeared on her show, she has this phrase where she always says to her listeners, hello, freedom fighters. And because I listen to her show, you know, I know that. So I put in the first line of my pitch, hi, Natalie, I'm a dedicated freedom fighter, so that she would know that I did genuinely listen to her podcast. With other people that I've interviewed, I might say, I listened to you, I heard you being interviewed on someone else's podcast and I really enjoyed it, and so I started listening to you. You know, so is there anything that can just show that you genuinely engage? But I think journalists can see through it. If you say, hi, I really love your work, I think you're an amazing writer, then, you know, you can see through that. So just to recap, sorry, I've gone off on one of my little tangents there. So email subject header, summarising what the story is. So if your story is about how we need to talk more about miscarriage at work, that's what you say. So you almost imagine what the headline would be on the piece. So that's what you say in your subject line. Then you say hi, first name, your first line, unless there's a compelling reason to do so, you know, where you exchange some pleasantries or you refer to their work in some way, you get straight to the point. Would you be interested in a story on X? Bang, get straight in there. Couple of more paragraphs, maybe that fill it out a little bit, including possibly some details about you and why you're the right person to be involved in this piece, or maybe to even write the piece. And then I would just say at the end something like, I look forward to hearing from you, and just leave it there. And you might want to add if you can offer photos, or you can offer case studies or whatever, you might just want to drop that in. But all journalists really want at this stage is they just want an idea. They just want some bullet points, essentially, of what your idea is and what you might say in your piece, or what you think could be covered. A lot of people make the mistake, particularly if they're pitching an idea for a piece that they want to write themselves, of writing the piece first. There's lots of problems with doing that, really. The first thing is that you might pitch an idea that a journalist quite likes, but they've just recently commissioned exactly the same thing or something similar. So they might come back to you and say, yeah, I like your idea, I like what you're about, but we've just done something and you've wasted your time. Or they might say to you, I like your idea, but someone else is doing something similar, or we did something similar recently. Could you write about this instead? And you've just wasted your time, or could you just angle it like this? So I would always just spend, you know, 5-10 minutes, you get a great idea, just send the pitch off. If a journalist wants more, they'll just come back and ask you for more. They'll say, can you give me a bit more information? But if you can just pique their interest, and this is about being really concise, really to the point, really simple, really clear, no clever language, no jargon, just get straight to the point in your pitch. And the free download of this episode is actually a sample pitch, one of mine that you can have a look at with a few pointers on there for you. So you'll be able to get that. I'll say this again at the end. It's janetmurray.co.uk/episode10. You can download one of my pitches, a real pitch that I've pitched to The Guardian, and you can have a look at how I go about it and what works. What might surprise you when you look at my pitches is they're quite informal, they're quite chatty. And I think particularly if you're pitching stuff that you want to write yourself, or if you're pitching to be interviewed for radio and TV, people like characters. They want to see your personality, because if your personality comes across in your pitch, then hopefully you're going to write with heart and soul, and you're going to write something that isn't bland. You're going to write something that's opinionated and interesting, and the kind of thing that people are going to want to share with their friends. And that's what journalists are looking for. So I will share as part of the download one of my pitches, so you can have a look at that, one of my successful pitches. So we've talked about how to increase your chances of getting a journalist to open your pitch. It really is about that email subject header. It's about getting to the point as quickly as you can. And lastly, I just want to talk about what to do if you don't hear anything. Now, I did touch on this in episode 2, which was about press releases and whether you need to bother to write press releases. I did actually think I'd go off on one of my tangents in this episode about this, but it's a really important thing. And I just want to emphasize again that if you're listening to this and you're new to PR and pitching, you will probably get lots of knockbacks to start with. You will probably get ignored quite a lot. That really is normal, I promise you. And it's just about keeping up your nerve. It's just about getting, you know, you get knocked back or you get ignored and you fall down, and you just get back up again, and you dust yourself off and you try again and you try again and you try again. My hit rate now after 15 years of this is pretty much like 90%, 95%. I hardly ever get a no, because I'm so sort of experienced and I'm so used to knowing what journalists want that I usually get it right. But that's taken me 15 years to get to this place. I didn't, when I was first starting out as a journalist pitching ideas to other journalists, because that's how it works when you're freelance. I'm essentially doing what you're, if you're listening, what you'd be thinking about doing. And I got loads of ideas knocked back. It took me ages to get my head around it. So don't be disheartened if you get ignored or you get knockbacks. I sometimes say to people, particularly with the nationals in the UK, if a journalist actually takes the time to come back to you and say, this idea isn't for us. This happened to one of my students. I'm running my Soulful PR program at the moment. It's a 12-week online program that I do with business owners. And one of my students got a no from one of the comment editors at The Guardian. And I was like, that's really good, you know. They hardly ever reply. It shows that your idea was actually pretty good. And she's like, really? But yeah, honestly, and it's all a learning curve, all of this stuff. So you will get ignored. You will sometimes find that you don't hear anything back, but it's just worth sticking with it, because you will get the hang of it if you just stick in there. So what to do if you don't hear anything back? This is something that often really kind of puzzles people. So what to do? Do you chase it up? Do you call up? Do you email? Because you don't want to seem like you're a stalker. So I would always say, if you think you've got a really great idea, it's definitely worth a phone call, or it's definitely worth emailing just to see whether they, because sometimes things do get missed. But I think if you've chased something up once or twice and you haven't heard anything back, it's pretty safe to assume that your idea isn't of interest. You will find this, I promise, that if a journalist is interested in your idea, they will be on the phone straight away and they'll probably be hassling you for stuff. So you might get ignored for weeks. And then when you come up with a great idea, they'll be like, when can you get that to me? And can you get me photos? And they'll be trying to get hold of you every which way. So you'll see quite a different side of journalists if you've got an idea that's of interest to them. Another thing, I should have mentioned this at the beginning, actually, in terms of pitching, but people often ask whether they should be pitching over Twitter and or using social media to pitch at all. Twitter is a really good place to network with journalists. Lots of journalists are on Twitter and they are quite active. They share the things that they write. It can be a great place to get an understanding for what journalists are interested in. So what kind of ideas they're interested in, what kind of things they're sharing, what kind of things they're commenting on. I think it is good to make connections with journalists on Twitter, but I would exercise caution about pitching stories, because I have had this happen to me. People will pitch me a story over Twitter. And I have actually taken stories. I'll link to a story that I wrote for The Guardian in the show notes. It was a couple of girls who ran a mentoring scheme for girls, and they just got in touch with me on Twitter and just said, I'll tell you the story quickly, but there were two Teach First teachers. If you don't live in the UK, Teach First is a scheme like an accelerator scheme for teachers who go to the top universities, and it's the top graduates get put in the worst schools, basically. And the idea being that they're supposed to be, I know, really clever and really capable, and they just get thrown in the deep end in the worst schools in the country. And these two girls, they were both these teach first teachers. They'd taken a group of girls to London for the day, and they were standing outside the Gherkin, which is one of the big sort of business buildings in the business district in London. And the girls saw some ladies coming out of the Gherkin in suits and said, "What are those women doing?" And these two young teachers were just absolutely astounded. And what they realised was that these girls that they were working with in London, they didn't have any female role models. So they didn't know anyone in their family who actually went out to work. So they decided to start a mentoring scheme for girls. They got some quite famous women involved, including Sherry Blair, Tony Blair's former wife, a few other kind of high profile women. And they pitched that to me over Twitter, and it was just kind of like a one-liner, and it just kind of caught my eye. So I rang up one of the girls, and they had no PR experience whatsoever. It was just like a kind of raw idea, and I ended up doing the story. But there is a risk when you do that kind of thing, and I've often seen, sometimes on my Twitter feed, I've seen that people have been basically spamming journalists on Twitter, and they've been, you know, say it's an education story, they just tweet every single education journalist with exactly the same story, and you look down your Twitter feed and you can see them doing it. And the thing with journalists is that journalists love exclusives. So if you look and see that somebody else has been working on the story, or somebody else has been pitched the story, sorry, you're probably going to assume everybody else is doing it. So why would I do it? So I would just exercise some caution about Twitter. It can be great. What I would suggest is, if you've got an idea for a journalist and you've kind of made a connection with them on Twitter, that maybe you ask them if they can follow you because you've got an idea for them. Most journalists are interested in ideas. They probably will follow you back if they say that. Just send them a direct message and explain your idea. But it can be a bit risky, because once you put your idea out there on Twitter, essentially you could have told thousands of other people about it. So it's always a bit of a tricky one. But it's definitely worth hanging around on Twitter, because you'll see what journalists are talking about, what they're sharing, what kind of content they're interested in. And sometimes, I mean, I'd still do this quite a lot. If they're looking for case studies, they will actually post on Twitter, "I need to talk to somebody who has experienced this," or "I need to talk to somebody who's got this particular kind of job or this particular kind of business." So it can be a really great way to connect. So just to conclude then, we've looked at how to pitch to journalists. So email generally is better. We've looked at what to include. So that kind of really attention getting, really simple email subject header, getting your top line in the first, or at the very worst, second line of your pitch. We've looked at how to increase your chances of getting a journalist to open your pitch. And again, that comes back to that compelling subject header. And we've also talked about what to do if you don't hear anything. And one last thing I wanted to add on that, actually, was if you don't hear anything, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea. It could just mean that your timing's wrong. So maybe they've done something like that recently, or they've got something like that coming up. So don't lose heart. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea. It just might be that the timing is wrong. So I hope that you've found that useful, and I hope you're all going to go off now and write some really killer pitches for journalists. As I said, if you would like to have a look at one of my pitches, if you go to janetmurray.co.uk/episode10, you'll be able to download it there. Or you can go to janetmurray.co.uk/pitch-like-a-pro, janetmurray.co.uk/pitch-like-a-pro, and you can get it there as well. If you did enjoy it, then do go over and have a look at the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode10. You can get that download that I've mentioned. I think I've mentioned it at least 100 times now, and that will help. You can have a look at one of my pitches. And I'd love your feedback. So do go over to iTunes and leave me a review, because the more of you that do that, the more people will get to know about the podcast and the more people will get to benefit from this content. So thanks for listening, and looking forward to hooking up with you next time.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.